Now, I looked at this young man that, why? No, I don't know. What just came to my mind was that this is the spirit of hatred. Let me explain what I'm saying. Jesus said, if you cast an evil spirit, that is a demon, out of somebody, and it goes away, and it comes back, do you understand my point? And he finds the house empty. What does he do? Does he come back inside? He goes away again. Gather seven more dangerous spirits. And then together, they come to that man. What does that tell you? Spirits network. And smaller spirits, all they do is open door for bigger ones. That is, the spirit that murders another human being is a very big spirit. To kill a human being is hard. You need a strong spirit to do it. But the spirit of envy and jealousy and anger, they are small, small little devils that will stretch the door open while the heavy principality that kills people enters. Do you get the point I'm making? I looked at this young man. All that was in my mind is that this is a typical young black boy angry with the whole of the white race. Anger, hatred. The spirit was pushing him up and down, and he never realized it until the day that he got a white man under his power and control, and the murdering spirit jumped inside. Boah. He had killed the man before he knew what he was doing. Do you get the point I'm making? That is why Bible will say, he that hated his brother is a murderer. That is, you are hating. Don't worry. Let me tell you what. Listen. It's on record. You can bear me witness. You are a lawyer. One of the greatest reasons people commit murder is a reversal of love. That is, in fact, at least from my studies and observations, where they do proper police investigation, if a woman dies, the first person they suspect is the husband. If a man dies, number one suspect is the wife. That is, the police will have to convince themselves that she's not likely to have done it. It is worse if they found out that the man got a girlfriend last week ahead. He said now she has a good reason. Because that simple, what she would think, that little spirit of jealousy and anger opens such a wide door for a murdering spirit that the people will have killed somebody before they know what they are doing. That is why the Bible said, he that hated his brother is a murderer. Like they say in my place, if you lie, you will steal. It's a proverb in Yoruba. And to paro, ajali. You know, in case you speak, I know you speak Yoruba, so maybe you will understand. It's a proverb there. That is spirit network. If you have a lying spirit, his close brother is a stealing spirit. Do you understand the point I'm making? You understand the point I'm making? That is, whatever be, whether it's for good or evil, we're talking about evil one now, the product of their work is ascribed to the person they used. Because the way God looked at it is, who opened the door? It is you. That's why when I see people say that God didn't, it was Satan that punished Job, God did nothing about it. But who opened the door? It is God. God had the key in the hand. Then he opened the door and said, Satan, go and afflict the man. Both of them are guilty. Are you getting my point? As for devil and his cause, they are condemned already. You cannot condemn a condemned man. Murder, he has been condemned. You know, sometimes I watch programs and they sentence a man to two life sentences. I say, okay, when he finishes the first one, his spirit will do the second one. You know, Nigerian system is even good. Like the British one, they run concurrently. American one, they don't run concurrently. You understand? If I remember one, he said he sentenced a man to 2 life imprisonment and the 25 years imprisonment. I said, okay, which one will he do first? If he does, I think the good one to do first is the 25 years one. But he will still have time to do the life imprisonment. After the first life imprisonment, they according to Fela, they will lock up the dead body. You know, Fela said, they will lock up your dead body for dying wrongfully. Oh God. Alright. Amen. Alright, so the point I'm just making all of this is that we therefore have a responsibility, do you understand, to overcome indeed this evil spirit. Do you understand my point? Now, and the solution, which was why I started all these things that I've been saying, is that now they come about as a result of, where would we start from? Hebrews chapter 4. All right. Before I go to Hebrews chapter 4, let me just say something. And that is the fact that in life, God never expects us to try. He said that, come near that we may find what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help. Mercy is simple. Mercy is that, this is where I describe mercy. Grace is when the power of God is working towards you because of your faith. Do you understand my point? Mercy is when the power of God is working towards you despite your ignorance. No, that's where I describe it. Grace is the working of the power of God by faith, which is what Paul said when he said it had to be by faith so that it might be in accordance with grace. That is, if it is not by faith, it is not in accordance with grace. Faith has to do with obedience. You are walking according to a revealed knowledge of God. So, Jesus knew he should die on the cross. Grace is the power that carried him through what he wanted to do. Do you understand my point? Mercy is the one that came upon one of my friends once. A 419 man phoned him, wrote him a letter, and said, please, help me give this and so amount of money to this person and take this one for yourself and all that, and sign. And he thought he was his friend, because then they used to intercept letters at the post office, and then if you get a letter from abroad by a friend that's typewritten, it's a forged letter. Because they have to typewrite it so that you won't know the handwriting. You understand my point? Now, he got the letter late, thanks to NIPOST. So when he went to the place where he was supposed to go and meet the dupe that would collect his money from him, that guy thought he wasn't coming because he got the letter late. He got there a day late. That is mercy. He didn't know he was not supposed to go. So he went all the same, but God did not allow his going to succeed. Do you get my point? When they entice you, say, come, let us do evil, and you do not even realize. So you go to meet the appointment, but so one security man shoots one of them before you come, and the other one scatters. And you have been delivered from entering into the company of evil men. That is mercy. Grace is when you know you should not do this, but the forces of life are so great, pressing you towards it. Do you get my point? That one is grace. It's the empowerment that God gives you to do what you know you should do, or not to do the one you know you should not do. Mercy is when you have no opinion, but circumstances just play around and show and make it impossible for you to do wrong. Do you get my point? Let me give a practical example. Sometimes when people ask me, how do I know this is God's will in this area? I said, the man said, deadline is given you is tomorrow to produce the money. Maybe you want to buy something. You're not sure whether the man is fake or real, or the thing is fake or real, or you should buy it or you shouldn't buy it. And the person said, what is God's will here? I said, the man gave you a deadline. He said, yeah. I said, he that believes will not make haste. Don't worry. He gave you a deadline for tomorrow. Don't go. In fact, delay him for a week. Call him back. I said, that is... Now, a number of things will work out there. One is that if you do things when you are desperate, you tend to make a lot of mistakes like that. Now, when you have done that, you have refused to make haste, and you have allowed God to play out events for you. Sometimes the man will say, when I didn't see you, I sold it. Thank God for it. Say, Lord, I thought it was mine. If it was mine, he couldn't have sold it. If it's yours, you might get there, and suddenly, one thing you needed to know to confirm it is suddenly made obvious. Do you get my point? Or he recognized that you are not so desperate. He wanted to sell it for $100,000. Now he finally agrees for the first price he offered of 75. Do you get my point? But I've just used that to explain that There are many ways by which these things work. Just don't be desperate. You understand my point? So that's what the Bible is talking about there when it says, come near to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Now, but see, bear that in mind. We haven't forgotten. I've not forgotten what I'm saying. Hey, our time is really, really, really moving, and I have absolutely not started to say the principle by which you overcome evil spirits. And I'm being serious with you. That's not a preacher's joke. It's the truth. Because the principle is in 1 John chapter 1, and we have not read it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Let me just start from verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Notice that. We have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, does what? Does this say has cleansed us? Cleanses, a continual process from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let me just pass this comment. This is one of those things that caused a lot of confusion when we're learning some principles, some rudiments of faith. They said that a believer is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are righteous, right? Righteous. But John said, if you say you have no sin, you are deceiving yourself. We tried all kinds of ways to explain it, but we couldn't. So most times we just ignore it. John, what you know, what you said is you that understands. Doesn't agree with what we are preaching. It's like I said, not understanding the scriptures, we made a lot of errors. Okay. Now, it now said, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is mercy. This is mercy. This is not, sorry. This is grace. All right. It said, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let me just say this. Because if his word was in you, every day he will expose something new about you that has not yet reached perfection. Do you get my point? What John was saying is that every day you go out and you are telling me you do everything perfectly. You're either mentally crazy or you have never known God. That listen, there are too many things in life to reveal imperfections in you to you. Let me explain what I'm saying again. David was a man that God loved. Listen, commenting on the life of David, the authors of the scriptures, as inspired by God, said he never did anything wrong. They now added a small clause, except in the case of Uriah. As far as God was concerned, this guy doesn't do anything wrong. Yet, his adulterous spirit that will open door for the one that murders was in him. He did not know. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That was what John was saying. He said, if his word is in you, listen, personally, there are times I tell myself, this thing, maybe I know that this thing is not right. The way I do this particular thing is not correct. But I have not been able to stop doing it. You understand my point? So I'll just keep meditating about it. There's one day light will come. And then suddenly I said, this is not right. This has to stop. Do you get my point? There are things I used to say maybe like 3 days ago. I just said, I am never going to ever say this again. Now, one of my pastor in Lagos used to do this. One day he was preaching a message. He was about to start talking. He said, okay. I promise God, this is the last time I'm going to say this. He said, God has told me to stop talking like this. But I don't know why I haven't stopped, but after today, I will never talk like this again. Now, he has always spoken like that. You understand? And something he tells him, that is not right. Do you get me? So one day, he now made his mind, okay, I won't say it. And he started saying it again before he realized what he was doing. So he told us that, okay, he's promising us he won't do it again. But let him just do it today for the last time. There was something he was going to say. It could get quite critical sometimes. There was a criticism he was about to apply. You understand? And he quickly cautioned himself. You get me? Alright. Alright, so. Now, so what John was saying, therefore, is that. Now, let me just quickly add something here. because it will appear as if he was contradicting himself when he said that he that how does it go again? When he said that he doesn't sin because the seed of God abides in him. Anyway, we'll come to that later. But I just wanted to pass a make a point about it. All right. He said, "No one who is born of God practices sin." I'm even happy that I'm using New American Standard because I wanted to explain this expression. He said, "Because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now, listen. This man was sin. So for him to have written these two things in the same context, there must be something he's saying that we don't understand. Do you understand my point? Because if you go to Galatians chapter 6, for example, Paul will say, "Bear you one another's burden," in verse 2. Then verse 6, "Every man has to bear his own burden." And you ask yourself that, Paul, come. You got something crossed up there? One fuse blue or what? You know? No, the truth is that just search thoroughly, you will find what they are trying to say. What he was saying is simple there. Somebody's in trouble, you should help him. But everybody has a responsibility in life. When you need something, when you are in distress, when you are in trouble, we help you. But as for your own responsibility, it is your own. Do you understand my point? For example, if your child is misbehaving, I will not correct him for you. Do you get my point? If the boy decides to smash the windscreen of your car, I'll be looking at him like this. But let my own son come near my own car glass with a pin. When I give him a knock on the head, all the foolishness will disappear and righteousness will enter instantly, because that is my responsibility. You understand what I'm trying to say? Uh-huh. So in the same manner, John was explaining something here, that there's what is called practicing sin, in which a man abides in unrighteousness. You understand my point? For example, I remember I was talking to some men once. One said that, there's no how. He was a young man on campus. That once he finishes, he's going to marry two wives. No, he must marry two wives. Now, he was not a Muslim. You understand? He just, as far as he's concerned, anything you want to say is your personal problem. Do you get my point? I was talking to another man once. His friend, I was in the presence of another guy when his friend was charging him against adultery. The guy who had girlfriends. And his own was, how can a man not have girlfriends? There's nothing wrong with it. I can testify that he loves his wife with all his heart. But as far as he's concerned, no, a man has, that when he's traveling, his wife can't always travel with him. You know, so he goes with one of his girlfriends. That is what? Practicing sin. Do you understand my point? It is different from when a believer, what Paul was saying here, recognized that, look, I know that I am not absolutely perfect in what I'm doing. And the more of the light of God I see, do you follow me? The more I know I have to get better. That there is what the Bible says, we are being transformed from one level of glory to another. Do you follow the point I am making? Now, what I'm trying to explain to us today is how to move from one level of glory to another. You see, so I was saying that, so when what John was saying is simple, that everybody as a child of God, when you contact the word of God, it reveals to you. Listen, it does not automatically transform you. Now, there's something I want you to understand. Jesus made a statement once. He said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life." Am I right? Yes, is that what he said? Did he say, "Search the scriptures because in them you have eternal life"? The inflection he used there shows you that they were doing something that was erroneous. He said, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, but you will not come to me." He said, "Those same scriptures testify of me. If you have come to me, I will have given you eternal life." What does that tell you? That when David said, "How can a man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the word, according to your word." That's Psalm 119. All right, if you read verse 8. He said, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" He said, "By keeping it according to God's word." Yet, the same David said, "It is not in a man to direct his steps." Okay, so that is what the word says. It is not in a man to direct his steps. The way to keep his way pure is to follow the word of God. Yeah, he said you cannot even direct your steps to that word, even after you have found it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? And are you getting my point? Now, what there's something I want us to get here very clearly. That is, John was saying, go back to John chapter, 1 John chapter 1. It said, if we say we have no sin, now let me explain that word sin again. Sin means that there is something that God wants you to reach, but you have not reached there. That's what sin is. Remember when we were talking about, I think, understanding the new covenant, or what were we talking about when I explained the issue of sin? That sin is not like God is angry. Sin is just a fact. Man and assignment, okay. I said sin is just a fact. Like, if God says, when you get in, sit here, and you get in and sit here, you have sinned. Now listen, whether you know you were supposed to sit here or not, what you have done is to sit in sin. Do you get the point I'm making? The reason being that there is an order with which he made life. And maybe he said that because he knows that people like you weigh above 60 kg. And this chair will collapse under the weight of 60 kg prolonged over 10 minutes. Do you understand my point? So he said, okay, all the guys still coming, we have to sit on this side. Now, one guy was not attentive at the door. So when the usher said, go here, he went to the other place and sat wrongly and damaged the chair. Now, sin is that you damage the chair. By your sin, death has come upon that chair. Do you understand my point? Now, you say, I did not know. God said, okay, I understand. But you see, damaged the chair. I did not know. Yes. So who do we hold responsible now that you damaged the chair? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, so sin is that you don't know. You are not doing it the way God wants to do it. Wants you to do it. It could be because you don't know, or because you know and you think you're wiser than the instruction that you have been given. Now, I'm explaining all this to bring out a point here. That when he said, if you say you have no sin, he's saying that you are telling me that every day of your life you have walked perfectly. Do you know what I'm trying to say? And that there is no occasion for getting better in your life. Remember I said at the beginning that if you are afflicted by an evil spirit and they cause you to do something, it is still your responsibility. Don't forget that. Now, there's something Mike Murdock said, still talking about this sin issue. I went to one of his tapes, and he said that it was discussing maybe like 20, I'm not sure the exact figures now, but he said like 20 things that I would have done differently if I'm starting ministry now. You understand? He said that he has heard people say that, no, they won't do anything differently. After 50 years of ministry, they will not do anything differently. He said it means that you have not learned anything in 50 years. Do you get my point? That you see, it's either pride, or you are absolutely so foolish that in 50 years you've gained no experience. You have learned nothing. And what John was saying is that, listen, in 50 years you must learn something. If you say you have no sin, you are making him a liar. You are making the constant purging of your conscience by his blood unnecessary. He said, however, if his word was entering into you, every time a word enters into you, you will discover a part of you that is not correct. And this is what I'm coming to. Then you will confess that as sin. And then he that is faithful and righteous will forgive you of that sin and cleanse you of the tendency to perform such things. Do you get my point? That's why Paul said, Galatians chapter 6, he said, if any one of you is overtaken in an offense, he said, those of you that say you are, verse 1, he said, if any man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. He said, each of you looking to himself, lest you too be tempted. This is Paul that taught the righteousness that some of us think we know too much. There was something my pastor said those days in Lagos. He said, if you find, now he was talking about the principle of networks, that if you find people in your network plagued with a kind of infirmity, say, check it, it's probably inside you. You just have not discovered it. That is, you will not know the kind of spirit that's inside you until opportunity arises. There are people that don't realize they have a jealous spirit because they have never had cause for jealousy. They have never been overtaken by their peers. They probably have always been the best in their classes. They probably have always been the best in racing. They probably have always been the best in the team. They score most of the goals. So he never realized he could be jealous until one day he passes his peak. And one young boy, 10 years younger than him, enters the team. Then the boy dribbles, scores. People say, hey, Okocha is too much. He said, what is it? I scored 15 of those when I was his age. Spirit of jealousy. But he didn't know it was there until there was cause for jealousy. Are you getting the point I'm making? John said, as the word is entering into you, you will discover areas that need to be touched. Then you will take those areas to God in prayer and confess them as sin. Now, I'm coming to that. Because that is the way by which you overcome evil spirits harassing your life. Do you understand the point I'm making? Listen, he said, if any man is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, that is, if you thought that you couldn't do it, how many of you remember the case of Jimmy Swaggart? Okay, maybe a lot of you were too young when it happened. The man who was caught carrying a shewo, you understand? Get my point? He was at that time number one or number two tele-evangelist in the U.S. Get me? We are talking about him being the position that somebody like Benny Hinn or T.D. Jakes is in right now. In prominence. And get me? Trust now. It was field day for the press. You give the Ashewo small money, she'll be Ashewo before now. She will tell you everything. Told the world everything. Even those of us in university, Christians, in Nigeria, we were ashamed on the streets. I remember that day my friend Martin was washing clothes. And I came and said, I heard them talking, what's happening now? I said, bank you forget. Tell me now, I'm waiting. He said, they can't call this man with Ashewo. I said, yeah, oh, Mario. You don't get the point. It was a big blow. I think it was 87. That is not my story. It was a few weeks before that. That's my story. Jim Baker went to jail. That was number one tele-evangelist in the U.S. Supposedly for mishandling money. And Jimmy Swaggart tore him to shreds from the pulpit. And one man looked at him and said, you cannot be right. He planted a detective on him that any man who can do this to another minister cannot be right. So he planted a detective on him. He didn't take the detective a few days. He caught him. He said, look, for goodness sake, that the way you went about another brother, come on, you cannot be a right man. The error somebody will make and say, me, like, yeah, I can't do that. Too. If you listen, let me tell you the honest truth. God said, if you ever make that boast, make sure it's a boast in the Lord. Not me. What do you think of them? When I wasn't married, I didn't chase Ashewo. Now that I'm married, and then I go, because he says, that's so. One spirit of Ashewo chasing will land on you. All the Ashewos will suddenly be attracting you like honey attracts bees. And remember I told you earlier, it is not in a man to direct his steps. You will have found yourself in Ashewo's house. Look, in fact, the way the devil will do it, after you move all your clothes, the wall will fall so that the whole street will just say, see, pastor. So Paul said, I like King James' expression. He said, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, he said, fearing lest you yourself be tempted. What was he saying? That is, no man can say, I cannot be tempted. That in fact, what everybody should say is, once I see a man like me caught in a trespass, is my next prayer point. That God, what will make this great man of God with all his stance to lose if he's ever exposed to do this? What a foolish show. That is, we ask, what is it that will make the man do this? Look, you know, before, when I was much younger now, I've grown a bit, you know. I have grown. Honestly, if you don't believe me, in fact, just believe me, I have grown. Sometimes I used to wonder that, this, why can't this man see that 1 + 1 = 2? And you know what I learned? The ability to recognize it is a gift of God. Wisdom is not in anybody. It is a gift of God. If God does not give you wisdom, you will be foolish. Are you understanding the point I'm making? So, when you look at a man like, he, preacher, these men are useless. Paul said, don't ever open your mouth to say it. He said, God, please, if there's any spirit of uselessness in me, Paul said, that's the better way to handle it. Do you get my point? Now, I use that to explain a point. Now, go back to that first John we're looking at. He said, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. I was telling you earlier that most believers in Nigeria of today have a spirit of covetousness. They have a spirit of corruption. They don't realize it. Do you know why? Because they have never been put in a place. Let me explain it like this. All the money they've ever had is their private money. How can you steal your own money? And even when they gave them money that was not their own to hold, it's always been money they could, how do I say, they didn't really need, you know what I'm trying to say? And they were not under pressure. You were a student, all you wanted was to eat, buy a few clothes, buy one or two recharge cards, you know, buy small, so it was not a big deal. You're not under pressure to build a house. You're under pressure to buy a house. Your father is not sick, and taking care of him is your responsibility. Now, do you have junior ones that are like 5 that they look up to you for their daily bread and their daily book? You understand what I'm saying? That has never happened. Then it starts happening. Then you are MD somewhere. Somebody say, "Oga, just sign this paper." We know we're not the most qualified, but like somebody, remember that joke? I think I told the joke before about the man who came bidding for a contract. He said 30,000 naira. He said, "Okay, you wait." And that man came and said 90,000. They said 90,000. How come it's 90,000? When the other man said 30, he said it's like this: 30 for you, 30 for me, 30 for the man that said he would do it for that. So we'll spend 90,000 and get a good job. Then you are suddenly the man being told that, and get me, you sign one signature. And that is the end of it. You know, 1 point something billion sacked our IG of police last week. Is it, what's his name? Ribadu, what's that man's name? EFCC man. No, Ribadu say it's nothing personal, I'm just doing my job. Papa Balogun say, God will judge Ribadu. No, Ribadu say, is he a lie? I just gave facts. Did I sack him? I just showed the president. Your IG transferred 1.1 billion naira. Where did you get it from? Listen, I told you, those spirits that make a man steal a billion naira that is not his own is a big spirit. But the door was open when his eyes stealing 100,000, 10,000, 5,000 here. Because it's just, I mean, somebody just said, just a small thing now, just sign it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That certain people have never been under such circumstances. Let me tell you the truth. If you see a believer do anything that is, you know, I learned this lesson, I don't even know when, I don't know, but that's how I pray now. I mean, look, I'm talking about one, you see somebody else overtaking an offense, all right? He said, you should look to yourself because there is a possibility also that you could be tempted. That is one. Second thing I want you to bear in mind is when God actually places you under circumstances to reveal to you that this thing is there. You have not recognized it. Do you understand the point I'm making? That is, suddenly you find yourself reluctant to account for 500 naira that belongs to your association. John said, no problem. What we have discovered, after all, you recognize that you should have accounted for it. He said, it is because the word has entered into you, showing you that you should have accounted. Do you understand my point? He said, don't feel bad. What you do is, we go to God. That is the principle of overcoming these wrong spirits in believers. Once you see it manifested, remember I said, how can a man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to the word. That is, you see the word, it tells you this is the way, walk in it. That is, you have seen that you are walking wrongly, but it is not within you to direct your steps. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Now, again, you have recognized, by any of these ways I have given, that this is a problem I might have, or a possibility, because a close friend who I thought we shared everything in common should have. Remember this, when this man was tested HIV positive, Magic Johnson. His friend, the one that played with Akeem in Coming to America, Arsenio Hall. I heard somebody told me that Arsenio Hall could not go for HIV test because he and this other guy have been everywhere together in life. So if he has HIV, I should have, as far as he was concerned. But it turned out that when he finally went, he was negative. But I'm using that to explain what Paul was saying. Somebody in your clique, you understand? My pastor in Lagos used to say that when you find somebody in your network having a kind of infirmity, he said, don't shout. Check. It is possible that you also have it. It just has not manifested. That the light of God has illuminated your heart so that you see this is wrong. He said, what do you do? Then you go to God in prayer and confess as a sin. Now, that is the principle of confession on sin. It is not what you do before you pray. Do you get the point I'm making? Joy, it's not what you use to start service. She's a Catholic, that's what I'm telling her. I'm just making a joke with Joy. No, because it's very common in Catholicism and some churches, a lot of places, believers' meetings. First way they start is, if there's any unconfessed sin in your heart, no, that is not the point. It's not the point. It is not the point. There is what is called the cleansing from all unrighteousness, which is the tendency to do evil. Do you get my point? So a man comes to God and prays like that. God, I have noticed that when I saw Beersheba, I desired her. Let me tell you the honest truth. Most of us like to rebuke lust. It's not rebuked, it's confessed. Look, you can rebuke an evil spirit, personality. Do you understand my point? But something that moves upon your heart is simple, it's confessed, it's not rebuked. It is God that cleanses of all unrighteousness. And that's what John was saying, if you read verse 7. He said, if we are walking in the light, as he himself in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and while all these things are going on, the blood of Jesus, his son, will cleanse us from all sin. You know the point I'm making? That these things work in an atmosphere of fellowship with God. That is, I am not tabernacling in sin. When it happens, I recognize that this is a sign of evil. I confess it to God. What the worst thing you can do for yourself as a believer is, you know what you are doing is, I said, that's just the way I am. Do you get my point? There is nothing wrong with learning the right thing. But I said at the beginning, or sometime ago, that God is not saying you should try. God is saying recognize. He said, Adam, where are you? He said, God, I find that I am in a place called unforgiveness. It's hard for me to forgive. God said, don't try to forgive. Kneel down and say, God, I confess unforgiveness. Cleanse me of the unforgiving spirit and teach me to forgive. When you rise up from there, suddenly people will offend you. You can't keep it in your heart. You did not try. You went to God for grace and mercy at the time that you needed it. That was why Jesus said, you are searching the scriptures, thinking that once you read it there, you will contact eternal life. Listen, was that not what we taught sometimes as God, as word of faith? Just quote one scripture. No, it's not like that. He said, they guide you in the path of righteousness, but you cannot even direct your steps into it. But that is light that shows you where you should be. So he said, God, I am supposed to be there, but I am here. I confess the being here to you as sin. Lead me to there that I'm supposed to be. He said, the Spirit entered into me at that point and set me on my feet. And I found myself in the right place. The believer's life is a life of grace. That is, God is the one causing you to walk righteously. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I am not leading myself because it is not in a man to direct his steps. I remember Demon Shakarian saying, when his brother-in-law put his hand, there was one thief of a minister, anointed with power from God to heal the sick, raise the dead, open the eyes of the blind. But the guy was a thief like Judas. For your information, when Jesus sent out the 12, one of them was Judas. When he sent out 70, one of them was Judas. And they all returned with evil spirits disappearing, but he was a devil. Are you getting the point I'm making? This man was like that. And he preached for Demas Shakarian for a few weeks. The last day of the meeting, the man decided to turn it to a money-making crusade. Unfortunately, we see so much these days, but we are so used to it, we don't realize how evil some of those things are. The man started raising money. If God has blessed you, bring an offering. If God has blessed you, bring some money. The man stood and raised money for 2 hours. Demas, who was brought up in righteousness, has never seen it before. Demas Shakarian is the founder of Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship International, for those who don't know. He said, then they carried the money into the back office. The man quickly ran out of the prayer and ran to go and meet them. And started stuffing the money into bags that he brought from where they had never seen. This man had lived in his house for about 3 weeks. He had never seen those bags. Said the guy was stuffing money. Said then his brother-in-law grabbed the man's hand. And at this point I'm coming to, that was sin and iniquity. You want to lay your hands on the Lord's anointed. David said when he pleases his master, he will meet with an accident in battle and he will die. That it is not your responsibility to pierce him through. Demon said he did not even know about that. All he knew was that suddenly he heard somebody say, he felt a hand grab his brother, his brother-in-law, and he heard somebody say, let him go. Then it turned out that it was him that was grabbing his own brother-in-law and telling him, let him go. He didn't know when he said it. At this point, he said, I was not seeing him, that preacher. I was seeing Saul, the anointed king of Israel. And you cannot touch him and be guiltless. What am I saying? Mercy stopped his brother from premature death. That's when events beyond you deliver you from destruction. An attitude that goes to God in prayer. God, I noticed that Ibila is saying, me too, I love money. Let me tell you the truth. I told you I'm writing a book on it. The problem with lying, I have found that the major reason why people won't go forward in life, Christians, is that they lie to themselves and to other people. Because if you lie, God can never help you. If you open your heart and you are sincere, no matter what your problem is, you will be amazed at what God can do. First, you tell yourself the truth. When people are talking outside, just laugh with them. But when you go behind, you say, God, everything they said today, I think I'm guilty man number one. I think I'm number one. No. Baba God, I beg, help me. Next time, you'll find yourself making excuses for people. When people start talking, you say, wait. You have not been in their shoes. Just pray that God should help you. They know that grace has come upon you. I remember when I first, you know the way life is. It was while preparing for this meeting. I remember that I wrote a teaching on this topic like 7 years ago. Do you know, it's today I remembered. It's now I remember sharing it with, there was one lady I was talking with. This was long ago. Talking about one sister. She went and got pregnant. Can you believe it? I said, shut your mouth. Before you pregnant now and deliver twins, just keep quiet. Just keep quiet. You're a young woman like her. Just keep quiet too. Okay. That one, you will deliver in the open. That is, there's no hiding. It was when I understood this principle of grace and truth that he said, if once you find somebody like you overtaking an offense, he said, it is with the spirit of fear. Let's come back to the person of Jesus. Maybe this will help us round off everything I've been saying. He said, I have taken so much time, but I just can't break it. I hope you can bear with me. We're reading about Jesus from where? Hebrews chapter 4. Now you can understand what he said when he was saying, in the days of his flesh, verse 7, chapter 5, sorry, you know, we read into chapter 5. Verse 7. He offered up both prayers and supplications without crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. Now, you see, you know, that's why we broke up that time. And he was heard because he feared, or because of his piety. Although he was his son, he learned obedience. It was not inherent in him. All this doctrine of, oh, I was born without sin, I was born with sin. The one without sin had to learn obedience. But all through his experiences, there was a constant thing in his life. Prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one able to save him from death. Death only comes by sin. That is, it was God that could deliver him from trespasses. It was God that could lead him in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen to me, it was God that empowered him never to sin. It is not that he was born without a sin nature. Nobody was born with a sin nature. Nobody, including Judas. They all refused to learn obedience. Listen, the life of the believer is a life of faith. That is, if I want to overcome sin, I overcome it by faith. What do I mean by faith? I say, God, this is a sin they say everybody like me commits. May I never commit it? Do you get my point? I have told you that there is a proclivity, that is, there is a tendency with every group of people. There is a problem with a man, you give a force, that is, you give an arm to maintain law and order. He tends to oppress the innocent. If you join the police, don't go in there. Say, me, I'm not corrupt. I'm a child of God. You are a mugun. You will kneel down. Say, God, I am about to step into the realm of the spirit of corruption. Strengthen me that I will only walk in righteousness. Let my hand never be found doing corrupt things. That's how they pray. It is that kind of prayer that you say, ah, God, see the way Tafabalogun was set up, that he might fall heavily. May it never be my portion. Try me, oh God. See whether there is any secret, dangerous thing inside me. He said, renew a right spirit within me. Let's read Psalm 19. He said, God, cleanse me of all secret faults. It appears to me like we have not finished that issue of anatomy of prayer. There are certain things we did not say. I think it's Psalm 19. Ooh. Oh, no, not 91. Not 91. Okay. Okay, from Psalm 19, verse... let me just read from verse 12. It's verse 12. It says, who... He said, who also can discern his errors? Acquit me of hidden faults. Also keep back thy servant from presumptuous sins. Are you seeing that? Let them not rule over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be acquitted of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord my God and my Redeemer. Do you get the point? You know, the way God will do things. I was meditating on these things. When I first heard, when I wrote that article, that teaching on 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that I called Grace and Mercy, how to obtain grace and mercy from God, I'd never heard anybody say it. And I started preparing for today's teaching. That was sometime, not even last week, it was before last week. I was writing some things. I remember I was going to Newe, I was meditating. No, before I went to Newe last week, Friday. Not this Friday, no, last week, Friday. We have met once since, before today. I was meditating a lot, so I was putting these thoughts together. Then, that day I was going to Newe on Thursday, I just went through my tapes. So, since I'll be alone in the car, nobody to go with me, let me put a tape that I'll be listening to. Then the one that was at the edge of the table in my study in the house, was one my wife, was it in the study? No, no, in the bedroom. Was one my wife had brought out and she listened to one day and dropped there by my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Poju. So that was the first one I saw, reached for it, put it in my car, and traveled. I started listening to it. Guess what? So was the man was preaching. Funny. He titled it Faithfulness and Innocence. I decided not to even repeat some of the things he said so that I can give my message fresh, you understand, without using human thoughts, you know, to intermingle too many things. But if you can, I'll make the tape available for us. I'm sure he doesn't mind. So people can make copies and listen to. He was talking about how Daniel survived in Babylon. Listen. Well, okay, why did I even remember that? Because he made a reference to something I knew long ago. Now, when I say I knew now, get this very clear. Get this clear. I'm not saying I was one that found out from the scriptures. There are many things you found out before you were born that you thought is fresh. But I don't know who said it, but he was explaining that. Okay, E.W. Kenyon was the first to push my mind in that area. And you know, Kingsley, if you remember about two, last Saturday, I was talking about prayer here. And I was explaining some things about prayer that, even in the past, we talked about it, about the prayers in the Psalms. E.W. Kenyon, he said something once that the Psalms were the prayers that I think Jesus, you know, he was talking about the life of Jesus being written down in the Psalms extensively. Now, in this tape I'm referring to, the pastor said that his pastor at the Badon said that the prayers of Jesus were from the Psalms. Do you get me? So when he said when he first heard it, he was shocked. But at that time, I was used to the idea. I mean, I understood it. You get my point? No? So he was explaining some things along that line. But I'm not even sure whether he related it to this. But from what he said then, I just realized this. That the Bible said he, in the days of his flesh, he offered prayers with supplications and tears to him who was able to hear him, deliver him from death. And he was heard in that he feared. Let me tell you the honest truth. I am persuaded, he referred to this, but I believe it totally, that prayer we prayed is one of the major prayers Jesus prayed before the beginning of his ministry. Now, I'm not talking about how his ministry has started. I'm persuaded that some of, in fact, those experiences of prayers were not even recorded. Let me tell you what, the lifestyle he had of going to the mountains to pray all night didn't start because he was a minister. Do you understand my point? Because by that time, by the time he started ministry, he had learned obedience. Do you get my point? God had declared boldly that this guy I have tested him, listen to him. At that time, he had become the source of eternal salvation for those who will follow him. Because he was already telling them. He was already telling them that the Father had life in himself. And he had granted the Son to have life in himself. And for the Son to give life to whosoever he wills. That was... All those things happen when God declared, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. That is, If you don't listen to him, I will kill you. And it's in the scriptures. He said, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish out of the way. Psalm 2. Do you get my point? When I'm talking about wrong spirits, they are the forces inside people that lead them into error. No, Pastor, I don't believe I did that. Yes, even me, I know you didn't do it. It's the devil. Now, when they say, Satan pushed me, it is the truth. Satan pushed Judas. Were you not there? You were there. You read it in the Bible. I mean, that's been there. You know what I'm saying? It's an accurate account. The Bible said that Satan entered into him, strengthened him to betray his master. It's not an easy feat. You don't just easily betray your master like that. It's Satan that enters people. You see, because of time, I will stop. All right? But what I wanted to explain, let me just say so that if I have time, I will say more on it. All right? Otherwise, I would love to go on to what I planned for next week, which is, what did I call it earlier? I think the power of the giver. All right. Okay. The power of the giver. Okay. You know, what I want to understand is that I put the one of overcoming demons last and principalities and all those ones. Because like I told us last week, they can't stay where there's no room. Do you understand me? If a man purges himself of the spirit of hatred and envy, the spirit of murder will never have a place to enter in his life. Do you get my point? It's what a man does that is against the will of God that he has refused to repent of by confessing it in the presence of God to obtain grace and mercy to overcome it. It's that very thing that opens the door for the strong evil personal spirits to possess his life. Jesus says something. The prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me. What he was saying is that there is nothing Satan can do to me. I think John chapter 14, verse 30. He said, the only reason why he appears like he could do something is because I laid down my life of myself. Do you get my point? Talking about overcoming evil spirits, listen, it is not Satan, I cast you out. I like one thing somebody said once. He said, who resists steadfast in your faith? He was talking about not giving Satan a room. He said, resist him how? Steadfast in faith. He said, it is not I resist the devil that resists the devil. It is steadfastness of faith that resists the devil. I've told you, we talk to the devil too much. He doesn't need our discussion. Listen, before Jesus could come around casting out devils from people anyhow, first thing John the Baptist did was to lead the people into repentance for the forgiveness of their sins. That is when Satan is easy to deal with. If you ever read this book, He Came to Set the Captives Free by Rebecca Brown. Now, I can't remember all the things inside the book. So whether the doctrines were correct or not, I'm not sanctifying the book or saying it is by bad book. I can't, but I remember I read it years ago. And she was describing how one young woman who had been in the occult was being delivered of evil spirits. And then every time they would deliver. Next day, another set of evil spirits will come. Then she got frustrated, like, what is going on here? Then the Spirit of God ministered something to her to tell the girl that she had not yet let go of her own powers of the occult. That is, she knew how to manipulate occultic forces and she retained the ability, despite the fact that she claimed that she's giving her life to Christ. So the spirits all had a place to hold. And when he confronted her with that, the girl had a hard time making that decision. I don't know whether she was a one or, get my point. She was a witch who could throw somebody into a wall with a glance. You know, the way I would take this pen and throw it into the wall with my hand. She would use her eye to lift somebody up and fling the person into a wall. She saw her powers as a defense. And as long as her faith was in the wrong place, the evil spirits couldn't be kept away. You cast them out, they will not go out. They will go out, they will come back again with seven stronger spirits. Look, let me be honest with you. I don't like criticizing people. That is why I find those who go to certain prayer places who pray against witches, wizards, demons, somersault, scatter, shoot the devil, fire the devil, jump on the devil, strangulate the devil, or karate the devil. I just look at it and say, look, if you have to do that every day, something is wrong with your life. No, I'm serious. Something is palpably wrong with your life. You are generating so much spiritual forces that's attracting evil into you. You are now laboring by sweat against the forces of evil that you are calling. You should go and find out, what am I doing that's bringing evil into me? He said, if you don't know, it's because you are detached from the word of God. The word of God has not entered into you. If he enters into you, we know. Is your covetousness? Do you know, there are people that their lives are... Oh, I don't know, I'm always talking about covetousness. Because in Nigeria of today... Look, let me end today's teaching. Because there was something I wanted to say. I just remembered it. And I must not start it. Because if I do, you won't go home today. I won't start it, but I'll tell you about it. The spirit of the Antichrist. The mark of the beast. Those things, those two things, my God, they are everywhere. John said it's around already. People said, that is one of my friends said, they've invented computer chips you can put under your skin. Listen to me. If you understand spiritual things, you will know that is the last way the devil will operate. Because it is too obvious. Believers won't fall for it. If you were the one, will you do it? Normal human being, if you are the devil, the mark of the beast, people have taken it already. The people who took it are waiting for the sign for someone to come and give them social security number and a microchip under their ulnar nerve. Sorry, ulnar nerve is a nerve in the hand. All right, for those who don't know, the mark of the beast, they swallowed it long ago. They don't know. I can summarize it. It's the spirit of covetousness. The only other time the number 666 were using the Bible was when they were talking about gold that Solomon measured. It is the worship of material things. We won't talk it. Like I said, I won't start it. I'm just explaining that to overcome the spirit of the Antichrist, it's simple. Deliver yourself from covetousness. How do you deliver yourself from covetousness? We have said it. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. God, I confess of... In fact, if you can give a practical example to yourself and God is good. You know, yesterday, the reason why I did this was because I was a thief. After that, God will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. For time's sake, please. I have taken, incidentally, almost one full hour beyond what I have planned. So, for that reason, I will stop now. So that you can go home. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we give you thanks. Let's just give God thanks for the word that he has shared with us today. And ask him for his grace to bring those things into our lives as a form of practice.